would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Allmaster Podcast episode 122 with your Paul and your Barry.
And so this is List Building 101. We're going to try and attempt to chat about that.
List Building 101?
Yeah.
It's 102?
Well, 102. Just like basically our approaches to list building and, you know, like as an advice for new players and what we, you know, when, and I guess our experience, what we look for in.
Let's see if you can manage to do one thing at a time tonight. Let's see. I'm looking around. There's not a great deal going on. There's no packing, painting. You obviously have to find something to do.
Cool. I'm just there.
I have to find something to do. It's been 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
So I haven't got much gaming in that time, but we'll hear about that in the old wide world of Corey and Paul and Barry. So we'll be talking about what's been going on in the world. Racist Trump. That's always a good laugh.
Yeah.
Sender, ho.
Yeah, but is he racist?
Not according to him.
Not according to him.
Some of his closest friends are orange.
Definitely not racist. Yeah, like
how can he be racist?
I don't know. I mean,
all three of his wives weren't American.
Yeah, I suppose. Isn't he German himself?
I think he's like
German family.
Send him back. Yeah, you can fucking deal with him. You deal with him, Germany. Yeah. You created him, apparently. I don't know if his grandfather is German or whatever.
It's pretty poor.
And it's pretty piss poor, isn't it?
But my question to you is: who would you vote for? Who would you vote for? Hunt or Boris or Johnson?
I wouldn't vote for either of them.
Yeah, but who, if you had to vote for
them? I wouldn't vote for them.
No, my question is,
you'd have to nail me to a cross before
So, literally, the world ends unless you vote.
I'd rather the world end it. It's not worth everything, is it?
The world ends and everything in it. Yeah, oops. Yeah,
I'd be very sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, that's not a serious answer, because I've got kids and stuff. You want the world to go on for them, if not for you.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's a cousin of the Queen. Hunt.
Is he?
Oh, you didn't know that, no? I think he's probably only a second cousin or something. But and one of them's a complete fucking retard.
Well, that could be both, then.
No, but one of them literally is.
Yeah, is it?
He's like some big bumbling buffoon. It was only funny when he became mayor of London, when it was just meaningless.
It's like,
I don't know, it's like tits on a bull, isn't it? He's got his finger on the button, that bumbling fucking nut job. But at least he's not Jeremy Corbyn. Corbyn, goddamn him.
That's the thing everybody can agree on, that it's not Jeremy Corbyn.
At least it's not him.
At least it's not him.
Things could be worse.
Things could be worse, couldn't they? Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, the world's gone to shit. Another week of the world going to shit.
The thing is, the next podcast we record, we'll have a new Prime Minister.
Brilliant.
Mm.
And we're only about 3 months away from another new Prime Minister.
Yeah, probably after that. Yeah, hopefully.
Because apparently he's saying we're going to leave with no deal, even though we can't leave with no deal. And even though his own party has said they're going to bring down their own government rather than leave with no deal.
Which seems a weird thing to state you're going to do. But yeah, okay, fair enough. Whatever floats your boat.
So even like the second most important person in the country, the Chancellor, I guess, he said he's going to bring down the government. Happy days.
Happy days. Yeah.
Fantastic. Do our job for us.
Yeah.
That's good. So, so what have you been doing, for fella, in non-political bollocksies?
Non-political? Well, as in hobby-wise.
Hobby. What's this fucking thing? What is that?
That's a Dwarf Throne of Power. You know, like
How's it powered? This power.
It's runes, isn't it? Like magic.
Rune power. Like
rune power, yeah.
Surely they rely on steam power normally, dwarven stuff.
Rune power. Other dwarves would push that, wouldn't they? Anyway, what have I been up to? Gaming wise, I play. What did I play?
You got crushed by.
I did badly get crushed. By Eric. Yeah. So I played Lord of the Rings last night because we were recording on a Thursday.
Friday.
Is it? Yeah, Friday. Oh, so two nights ago, I got crushed by Eric. So I was playing it. Basically, I've got an event tomorrow of Lord of the Rings. At Harlow. It's 800 points this one. I'm taking my good and evil forces. So I've finished painting off the Gondor force that I wanted to, and I'm quite happy with them actually as a collection. Like, I'll enjoy using them.
You've got Boromir, obviously.
Boromir, Captain of the White Tower. No, this one. This one's led by Faramir.
Oh dear, no, that sounds bad.
Yeah, we'll
I think
see.
This is going to go to shit, fella. Because I think Boromir is like a killing machine.
He is. And we will see what Faramir does. But no,
he ain't Boromir.
Last one of them, I took Boromir, and this time I just want to try a different something. I wanted some cavalry models, so I got me some knights. See what I can do.
You've got the dismount of the knights, obviously.
No, I don't, actually. Ooh. So, yeah, I mean... Yeah, I might realise that might be. I might have to proxy in with the other. But
that would be a good idea. Yeah.
So, and then I've got my Mordor list, which that ain't very good. That was what Eric. I needed a game with the Mordor
list. Have you got your dismounts for this?
No, I haven't actually. Yeah, like again,
I've got like 10 cavalry in each list.
Yeah, I realise my problems. it's early days. Yeah, and I played again Eric's dwarf Khazad-dûm list. Yeah,
who was leading it? Dane.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Durin.
Durin,
yeah.
Anyway, he wasn't the problem. It was the bloody ballistas that were the problem.
Well, Durin's really hard, though, mate.
He was, and he quite comfortably...
Has he got Gimli as well, isn't
it? No, he hasn't. Yeah, like, he quite comfortably took down anything he got into combat and he was near with. But the problem was, so Eric had taken... I wanted to play against this dwarf army, because I hadn't played against the dwarves at all. And I needed to play with my Mordor list, and I realised my Mordor list is too elite heavy, in terms of like it's got not enough models. I did out, and the Mordor buff is you've got to outnumber the opponent.
And then what do you get?
Rerolls to one in wound. Oh. Okay, you need a.
King of the
Hold on to my youngest while we talk.
I thought you were going to say your heir then.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Only heir.
He's just to pour water all over
it. Oh, okay.
That's
nice. These ballistas just slaughtered me, basically. By the time I made combat, I wasn't outnumbering anymore. And, my dwarves are pretty damn hard, basically.
Dwarves are very, very hard.
Yeah.
They're like an elite foot-based army.
Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot about using my stuff, and I'm going into the event tomorrow not expecting to do well at all.
Well, if you need to outnumber, and you couldn't even outnumber dwarves,
army, I've got problems. I began outnumbering them, but I wasn't outnumbering them when it mattered.
Yeah, but. Dwarves are an elite army.
Yeah, I know.
There ain't many armies more low model count than dwarves.
Exactly. But these, I mean, really, this, because the way gaming is really, this event is get some more games of Rings under my belt to play in our own club one, which is coming, which is in October.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and at smaller points as well, so I'll give it a go. We drew a mission that favoured just a stand-up. It was a stand-up fight one, and in the match, I think I might have done better if it was one that involved objectives, because I've got the quicker.
He's got no mobility.
No mobility, and I could have run around his stuff.
And they're slow.
Yeah. But I didn't know do it.
Yeah, like anyway, and I've been doing obviously quite a bit of painting.
As you would be.
Yeah, so getting this stuff done. I've also worked on the scenery table that I use for Lord of the Rings, which is quite a job I'll be taking on. So what I've got here is the Skaven that I was given in Scotland. I've been trying out some of this crystal colour on it, the contrast paint.
All right.
And just to see what the look of it is, and like, you know, what we'll look at how it works on 10mm stuff.
So what is this? Just one coat over white?
Yeah. So
that doesn't look very good.
Well, it's very easy to achieve that effect. Yeah,
you could achieve a very similar effect by not spraying it white in the first place and just washing it, I guess.
Well, I just wanted to see what these paints did. So what you have there is a contrast paint called Gore Gunter Fur, a lighter one. And then you've got the other one's got a darker one.
You've got a strong hand, ain't you, like that?
Oh, dear.
Grabbing for
just tea. Grab my tea. You could then highlight up. I'm going to basically with these Skaven, I'll try lots of different things for them, I mean, I've got plenty to get through, as you can see.
You've got a fair amount to wade through there, sir.
Yeah. So,
are you going to send him some pictures?
Of course, yeah.
You might have to get Chris to do them if you want to look anything
if
he wants them to use them for anything other than
exactly. And so I've been working that as well. So once this event is done, I'll.
So do you think this is Empress New's clothes? Because I don't see a great deal of anything overly impressive in the finish.
In the painting there.
You could have done anything.
I just wanted to try the colours.
Yeah, you've just undercoated again over the white.
That's right.
There's a little bit of radiation and there's a bit of pooling.
It's a great idea that the contrast paint, because it's a reliable effect you can achieve. Now, if you're not a painter, then this is something you can do, because that with a few highlights like would look better than unpainted stuff, and it's something that doesn't take a lot of skill to do, because you don't have to be delicate with it. You can just slap it on, I could paint better without it, but I'm just trying different things out because I wanted to show off different types of effects on these skaven. For him. It was like this one was painted using this was painted with that, this was painted more traditional.
It reminds me of what was that stuff I used to use? The
dipping?
But which was basically like water-based floor varnish. It's a similar effect to that. It's like, in some places it's really thick.
Because you just put it on.
Because that provided a really robust finish. Rock hard. You just mat it down with some spray.
That's how I did my skaven in Warhammer that way, because it also varnished the model and
did everything.
Glued it together.
It did
everything for you. But because when your demons turn up, I'm going to try some demons with a red contrast.
It's interesting. I was going to rush out and buy this, but I'm not sure I'll bother now. The paints.
Well, yeah, but it's. I mean.
It's just not the kind of look I'd go for. And if I was going for that, I'd dip it anyway, because then it does the other jobs that it does.
I mean, it's interesting to try different things.
Because with dip as well, you just put your base coat over everything, which is just like one coat or two coats, whatever you need, and then you dip it, and it applies the same level of contrast to everything.
So you're talking about this product?
Strong tone. Quick shape. I can't believe this. 20 quid. You can get this from B&Q for about a fiver. antique pine or something it is.
Probably.
It is. that was one of the greatest, what do they call it, where they repackage something.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a product that was already available, rebadged it,
and sold it all.
20 quid a ton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 750 in B&Q. Anyway, I've got a couple of tins of that stuff, as well as the B&Q.
Other thing I've been doing is I've quite enjoyed spying on looking on eBay for metal rings models, like for these factions that I didn't own. And I've also managed to pick up a dwarf Throne of Power, which was pretty cool. He has also some guards there, but they don't fit on a single bait, a coin.
That's what moves it, because it doesn't look like it would.
It's a character.
It's just coming down here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and then I also picked up a unit of Slaanesh demons for a fiver.
That's cheap.
Yeah, well they. I guess everything. Yes.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I'm getting to the point now where I think everything on eBay is like recast at this stage.
I mean, if it's bare metal, not in brand new.
Not in a blister. It's a recast.
It probably is, but I don't mind. I mean,
for fiver, you can't really go wrong.
Exactly. Because there was a couple of units for going, and one of them, no one bid on it. So
it's different when you're talking like £30.
Anything I have picked up on eBay has been at a cheap price because I'm not sitting there bidding desperately to bid something. And the recent interest of eBay is that is because I'm looking at what prices the Joan of Arc game goes, because it's the other thing is what me and Barry are doing at our next club meeting is we're playing Joan of Arc, and I've had a look at the rules. That's the Kickstarter game that we'd come in, and
it's big and it needs its own room.
We really shouldn't have both gotten a copy of it.
I've never heard Jana's talking about playing it either. Maybe nobody's played it yet.
Yeah, I mean,
it looks intimidating though to even get out and set up.
The thing is,
we've lost Arthur now.
Yeah. So the thing is about it is this is the Joan of Arc Kickstarter thing that we backed ages ago. is that you play in scenarios. So, like, yeah, and each of those expansions adds more models, but adds more scenarios to use them.
Not
and like, I couldn't see rules of, like, there's not points values or rules of match play of, like, I'll bring an army, I'll create an army.
Well, that's not necessarily
bad. No, not bad, because there's loads of scenarios, tons. But everything you need is in that box. So having two sets, is it needed? Like, what does having another set add to you? Like,
it doesn't add anything.
And there we go. That was the mistake. So I'm trying to shift mine because... And I'm, yeah, and I, and if Barry will accept half the price of it, then I'll give it to
him. No, you just keep your money, sir, and we'll play with mine.
Yeah.
Right, so what have I been doing? A bit of magic. We got a bit of a revival. A little bit. The club's come back to life. A little bit.
What's going on with that?
Well, it's weird. We're in weird times now. I don't quite know where we're going as a game.
Right.
I mean, there are normally four sets released a year. So yeah. Like four big events.
Uh-huh.
And the kind of one we're in now, the summer one, is the smallest of four.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nick, my friend who runs a shop in Colchester,
yeah,
ran four or five events over the weekend. So the day it was released Friday,
right, okay.
And two on Saturday, and none of them fired. One of me only had two people turn up to.
Oh, right.
And now this is a retail operation, so it's like, that ain't good.
Oh, dear. Right, okay.
So maybe magic's falling off a cliff, or maybe it's just...
Because it's gone online.
Or they're pushing it online.
They're pushing it online, right, okay.
So we'll see, I really don't know what the future's going to hold.
Maybe
I'll know by October when the full set is like the linchpin of the year. The full set's the one that everybody goes nuts for. And it's like,
so what's happening with your club?
Well, my club's just managed to scrape over the line, so we got 9 on Monday.
So you're still meeting every week?
Yeah, but we're kind of going very casually 2 weeks out of the four.
Right.
2 weeks are just like turn up and play casual.
Oh, okay.
And two weeks are like competitive, so, owning boosters, drafting.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we're just about hanging in there. But by October, I'll know one way or the other.
Okay.
And if it's to me, it's just a hobby. So I've done it for like 6.5 years, but it's just a hobby. So it's not my livelihood, it is for other people.
Yeah, totally. Wow.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And I played Battle Group against Nick. That's the other thing I did.
Yeah.
I'm really in two minds about this game. I'm like a moth to the flame. I like it. I like the fact that there's a lot more to it.
You want to like it?
No, there's a lot more to it than Flames of War. I think Flames of War was just a little bit too...
Right, okay.
What's not very realistic. No, it's like there were lots of little exploitable jibbers that were...
For you,
it wasn't particularly realistic. Whereas this game kind of takes things to the other extreme.
Okay.
To the point where you can have, like, medics, and you can have, like, wire teams, and you can have, like, to communicate.
Yeah.
You can have, like... If you could think of it, there's probably rules
for you. There's probably rules for it.
And also, it would be handy to know in advance who's attacking, who's defending, because you could buy fortifications. But obviously, in a tournament list, you can't have fortifications, because if you're the attacker, you have to leave them to go and attack.
So, are there tournaments of this game?
No.
No, right.
It's absolutely not
it's
a tournament
narrative,
game. Yeah. So, again, it's a bit like the... What game we were talking about was narrative a few seconds ago. This, Joan of Arc. So, there's no tournament rules for that. This game is definitely not tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But it... We were struggling with the terrain because it's like 40k in that it's true line of sight.
Yeah.
But if you play true line of sight, then hills aren't big enough.
No, of course not.
Because they're not.
Yeah.
Because they're only like an inch off the ground. So it's like I couldn't hide anything. So my Bedford truck was trying to reload because you've only got limited ammo. So I shoot my ammo, which takes like 3 turns.
Off your Churchills?
Yeah, Churchill. Yeah, yeah. So they have like 6 ammo. So they shoot the... 2 turns, so they've gone in three turns.
Yep.
So you send your truck out, you can't protect it.
No.
I'm even hiding it behind tanks, and if you can draw a bead, then you can see it.
That's all you need to do, isn't it?
It's boom. Machine gun, boom, 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 boom. Machine guns are like 40-inch range.
So the table, what you need them to be.
And there's no terrain that does anything. So I said to Nick in future, even hedges have to block line of sight.
Yeah,
hills block line of sight. Anything realistically blocks line of sight. Otherwise, the game just falls apart.
It's silly, isn't it? Yeah, otherwise.
It's like we just sit at the baseline playing Tau against Imperial Guard, just blowing everything up. And it was worse than that because you can go on Overwatch.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, then what's the point of moving?
He was defending with his like heavy armor. He got like lots more heavy weapons because that's what Germans do. Small teams, lots of heavy weapons, all dug in because he. he was on the side of the board with the terrain, and he got all his stuff on first, and I was coming on late, because you roll each turn to see how much stuff comes on, and say you roll a six, you get to bring on six stands.
Yeah.
And my first two turns, I went second, and my first two turns were all ones. Yeah. So he had his entire army set up, and I was just trying to roll onto the board, and everything was on Overwatch, and it was just like... So the game was over in about 90 minutes, and it really wasn't anything of a game.
Oh dear.
But I think I still like it more than Flames of War.
Yeah, alright.
And I think I had to go out and buy a couple of extra pieces, and I haven't bought pieces for Flames of War for forever, but I bought a couple of extra pieces for this.
Okay. Right.
A couple of scouty tanks.
Okay. Well, I think I know what you mean.
Scouty tanks.
Stuarts.
Smaller than that.
Yeah, honey Stuarts?
No, smaller than that.
Smaller than that?
There's so many. You need to know so much stuff for these games, but something smaller than that. And I needed a Firefly.
Oh, yeah, of course. An upgraded Sherman gun.
Because you get one for free in your list, and I didn't have one, so I couldn't use it.
Oh, you should have that. Fireflies were like the answer, weren't they?
Yeah, they were the answer, yeah. So, game's decent. I'll let you know when I play a third game. And that's probably it. Bit of magic, bit of that.
I mean, if you invite me to have a go at such a thing, that would be interesting to try. Yeah,
it's definitely a fun game.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds different. Yeah. The thing I've looked at, which you can't believe GW, like how they managed to keep up this, is have you seen this Warcry?
I've seen it and instantly dismissed it because I'm not interested in it.
No, but it's just the way. So Warcry is, another totally new game system from GW, and it is like a skirmish version of Age of Sigmar. Like it's set in that
it's
world.
Called Mordheim. Well, the original version was.
Yeah, it was Mordheim. This is what Mordheim has become.
They're not looking for Warpstone because that doesn't exist.
No, the way it's quite an interesting concept. The way it's set is it's like, okay, so in Age of Sigmar universe, there's these different worlds play, and it's set on Chaos Overrun world,
right.
And it's just basically Warbands of Chaos vying with each other, trying to prove that they're
just all Chaos
to get attention, and it begins with all Chaos. I mean, the models look fantastic.
No, this can't be true, sir. I'm already calling this as bullshit because there is no way this game exists without those fucking Storm Bros.
Oh yeah, but they are they're giving you rules for them, but they're not making bespoke. As in, you use what you already have. Yeah,
they're not releasing Storm Bros for this.
No, they've released the rules for them. The rules for them. Yeah,
because people want to play the Storm Bros. Not everybody gets Chaos.
But what they have done is with these, I think they got highlighted eight warbands. I think. I mean, they do look like some fantastic looking models for them.
Just 20-pip box sets.
My point is it's just only GW can just and out this month is a completely new game system in this massive box set full of.
So you've got like
everything.
£80 box set. I'm guessing £80 box set,
probably,
and then £20. But then you can buy all the accessories, tokens,
I mean,
whatever,
it comes
cards and
whatever. There's an awful lot of sprues in that box set. I had a look at it in GW Chelmsford. There was the advanced copy set. And the rules are, as a rule set, it's not like a familiar to anything else. It's completely unique in itself.
It's based on Age of Sigmar, isn't it?
No, it's not. I mean, the models are, but the rule set, nope, totally different.
Okay.
But
even the stats and stuff?
No, there's wounds and how hard you are to damage and stuff, to hit and to be hit. But the mechanics, the game mechanics are totally unique to that game system. I mean, they probably came from somewhere, but they're not like anything else GW has done. It's like, I mean, my point is
it's nuts,
there can't be anybody out there who is capable of playing every GW system at the moment.
No, it's not possible.
Because there's just so many. Even the 40k apocalypse stuff, that isn't just a version of 40k. That's a different game system. It's a different 40k.
Well, what was that new Space Marine one they did? The big fucking Titan War.
Titan War.
The Titans shooting Titans. What was that game?
Adeptus Titanicus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That came out, didn't it?
That's a different game system. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So it used to be GW weren't very good. So they maybe got a third of the hobby dollar.
Yeah.
And the rest of the people got to share the 60 or 70% of the hobby dollar.
Yeah.
Now, to keep up with GW, you are running at fucking full pace.
I think, yeah, I mean, I just
think they're probably eating 75% of all the hobby dollar now. All of it.
Probably.
All of it.
I've got those.
All of it.
Be interested to see.
Because if you go in for this Warcry game, that's probably a one-er.
Probably.
Minimum.
Yeah, I would think so.
And if you want to go heavy, it's probably 200.
If you want to get more stuff for it, as in other warbands and things, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's no doubt, it's like, it's just, they're just an unstoppable ball of death, aren't they?
Look at how much people have put into Lord of the Rings in the last 12 months. Mm. It's gone from people spending nothing to people probably dropping 100, 150, 200 each in the last 12 months on it.
Yeah, definitely.
You do the numbers. It's just like, it's nuts, mate.
Yep.
I don't know how anybody even dreams of taking them on anymore. Because they, like you say, from nowhere, this game's just appeared.
Yeah,
and
like,
suddenly,
I mean, it was
by me.
It was previewed, like, as in terms of YouTube video or something, you know, saying we're doing this thing, like a few months ago. But no details over, like just some images.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's like, boom, now it's available.
Boom, go.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's like a box, like, yay big. And it's like, full of stuff, full of new stuff. Nothing in there's, like, everything in there is new. You know, new rules, new models, new scenery. New board it's on. It's like, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just like, I was intrigued to read the rules and to watch. I watch now online, like, a how do you play it game, you know, YouTube of it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh, okay, it's totally unique.
I can't keep up with them, fella. I didn't try. I sold out at that Underworld, was it? Shades?
Yeah, Shades.
Couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the first season, but then the second season they went
and
equally
as
hard.
Now they're talking about the third season.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Until they run the legs off it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Fantasy Flight do, isn't it? They go in it like hard, 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 and then when it runs out, they just pull it.
Yep.
And move on to another game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's no mercy with Hot Fantasy Flight, I'm telling you.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. What was that game I was buying? Like Battle or Song of Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
So like the
card game.
No, it's like Battle Lore. You know the
miniatures game.
But set in Game of Thrones.
Battle Lore, Game of Thrones.
And I was like boom, boom, boom. I was buying, 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 buying. Just gone.
Yeah.
That was it. There was like all the pull the plug, move on.
So because the opposite. So while you speak of Game of Thrones, like the Simons with their massive issues of production getting out of America. Like, that's killing their game. Like, you know...
Well, the Battlelog game.
No, the Game of Thrones Song of Ice and Fire.
Oh,
the miniatures board game. Real issue of production. Like, they can't get the stock into distributors into England. Into other places. It's there in America, because that's where they're based. But...
Yeah, but they're not making this stuff in America,
well, that's
to say,
no, no. But
they're
so,
making
like,
it in China with a 6-month lead time.
Yeah, exactly. And they... So, there's an... That is really hampering their game. Because, like, on... Online and stuff, people want to play it, but they can't get hold of it. You know, like, or they can't, or in their little gaming groups, that no one can buy anything of the new things, or even the things before the new things. They still aren't available. You know, because they showed pictures of Targaryens and Dothraki, basically, and the Baratheons. They all look great, but when are you actually going to be able to buy it? Not on the release date. Not on the day it's out.
Well, if you wanted, when you're spending the money on eBay, I guess you could do it. Oh, okay, so let's talk about the week in Warmaster. We've already done like 27 minutes, Jesus Christ. You had your dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he's not worried. Mm-hmm. I've got to get mine. Right, so week in Warmaster. Nathan J. Hunt, Skaven Thingverse stuff. Have you seen this?
Yeah, yeah. It's another guy designing some Skaven, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's doing it in a different way. That he's just like posting them. We haven't mentioned him, so I thought it's only right to mention
Of course.
He's just posting like the Thingverse up, so you can just go and download and print, I guess. I don't have a 3D printer yet, but if you did, you could run these off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it would cost to print them. I don't know how much the printer is.
I mean,
it's something I'm looking at picking up.
I suppose Warmaster stuff would actually be reasonable to print at home because it's small,
isn't it?
Yeah, but...
Because you asked Alex to print you something the size of a fucking bin bag.
What are you doing? I didn't like, as in, like, yeah, I've not.
Is it 20 centimetres square or something?
Yeah, no. It's it was some ring scenery that had been designed.
Right.
It's in Gondorian style looking scenery. And Alex had, you know, like, had created that group, as in, like, I've got a 3D printer. I was like, how much would it be? Okay, that's how much the file is, like 20 notes or something. You know, like, how much is it to actually then print that? And he quoted me, well, forget it then. Because you can buy it from someone who has printed it. You know,
but he would be printing in a different material type. Alex used some resin.
Yeah,
which, again, I did thanks to Cromarty Forge for the pieces for my GT.
Yeah.
I actually got the dragon and the little man.
Yeah.
The dwarf slayer and the dragon are both in metal now.
All right. Okay.
Because I put the resin into my vulcanizing press, and it's to survive the process.
Oh, right.
I mean, you've got to be careful that the stuff's on the plane, and you're not forcing it too much with the pressure, or it'll snap.
Yep.
But that's really good news. Mm. That means I can now 3D print stuff in this resin and then turn it into metal.
Oh, right. Okay.
So maybe I could look at getting some 3D sculpting done. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't know if it would survive, but I'm telling you now, if people are using this stuff, you can turn it into metals.
Uh-huh. You can forge it.
Yeah, and with no loss of detail that I can see.
Fantastic. But,
so it doesn't bend as much as the green stuff. Do you know green stuff?
Yeah.
When that gets hot, it kind of moves.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't break as much. Yeah. I mean, it pulls apart when you unmold it, but this resin doesn't bend.
Oh, okay.
So if you like your arms are sticking forward, then they're likely to break off.
Yeah.
So you might have to take them off and mold them separately.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
So another big up to Cromarty Forge because that is amazing.
Yep.
Everybody will have them in metal now.
Yeah.
Because people want metal, they don't really like resin. I'm telling you. Well, I've got some.
Yeah,
when you want to strip it and repaint it or sell it, you can't strip resin very easily.
No. I mean, I've had to. For this Rings Force here, I had to paint a fine cast guy because he was never in. He was never made in any other way.
You're gonna have to clean it up and strip it.
Oh, it just honestly, it's like, well, I did the best I could with it, but it's like as a material. I was
shit.
My god, it's awful. Yeah, like it's in either it needs to be plastic or it needs to be metal.
Yeah, but plastic's not easy to clean either.
Mm, no, not really.
Metal, you can throw it in with nitromorse, mate. Don't worry about it. Give it half an hour, spray it off, it's done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So it'll be in metal, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Right, so did you see Spellcrow's Argatoria?
What's that?
It's like a 10mm war game.
No.
They're spunking out new stuff.
Okay.
So we'll have to have a look at that. We might have to do a proper when we get the laptops on, because the laptop isn't on, so we're not going to have time to do it now. Mm-hmm. You look, there's Argatoria 10mm war game.
Okay, right.
I think they were actually asking for playtesters and stuff at one point, but my box too full. You've got two young kids and five jobs. You ain't got time for that.
No, I mean, I did something about the jobs and I cut my hours down in ED, which is giving myself more of a life.
A&E it's called here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the emergency department. Anyway, carry on.
Right, so list builder updates from Dave Warman.
Fantastic.
He's a man.
Thank
if you want to support
much.
Him, he sells miniatures, Warmonger miniatures.
Yeah, Warmonger miniatures. Buy Warmonger miniatures to support him.
There you go. Third Battle of Blackfyre Pass. Did you see that?
I was invited to go to it.
Were you?
I was. Do you want me to prove?
No, of course not. Were you going to be on the Empire Dwarf or the Orc and Goblin side?
Well, I could have brought all of the factions, so I don't know. But it was in the place where Milton Keynes, your area was. Yeah, so
12,000 points of Dwarfs and Empire.
Yes.
Versus 7,500 points of Orcs and Goblins.
Where they rolled the Orcs and Goblins back onto the table.
So you could just respawn.
Yeah.
They
got through about six turns. They didn't finish the game. But they, they had a good crack at playing it all. It looked pretty impressive.
I mean, how many cannons is that?
Quite a few. Yeah,
12,000.
They had lines that they played the table long ways. It wasn't a big. It wasn't. I didn't look to me as a bigger table than normal.
It looked quite big.
But as in a little long, but not as wide. As in like as in the normal width. They put
so maybe 8x4.
So they created like the pass, and they had lines of Empire and Dwarf defence.
Right.
Like, but the third line never got like involved, basically. Right. But
so the Battle of Winterfell style, they had the cannons at the back, and then the Dothraki in front of it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then the flames in front of that.
Yeah, because you don't want them to retreat.
And then the horses in front of that. Yeah.
But it was all very well by all accounts, and I couldn't make it because that was the day before. I went off to Centrebox, and it was like, I was not going to be free to like, be off hobbying when we had so much packing to do.
Mm-hmm. They do interest me, those big games, but I'm sure you never will finish them unless it's over a weekend or something.
Yeah, I mean, it is a case of as much fun as it would be to put so much on down. you do want to be in a position where you can get somewhere with it. You don't want to play like two turns of a game and like nothing much had happened. It was successful. Like it was, what was quite cool is the group of guys there, you know, invented their little rules for like representing special characters, you know, like, and how they were going to run their game, all for the moment.
Right.
You know, and it was like, yeah, so why not? You know, I'm sure they came away with some funny tales of the day. You know, it looks, Warmaster, when it's played like that, does look
nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Like, as in, look how much it looks, you know, on there.
Look how much shit's on this table. It's a lot of stuff. Right, well done, that was the week.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so the main topic, list building. List building. We couldn't be any more different at this than we tried.
Yeah, which, I mean, but styles create matches, as they say in wrestling.
I'm definitely of the Janus style of list building, and you've got your own very Paul style. Very Paul style. It'd be more like Jim, I guess, than Janus. Jim tends to kind of mess about a bit. He tends to go really character heavy, Jim. I'll say this now.
Okay.
Like, if he can have two Terracorsan characters, he'll have two Terracorsan characters, even though it's eaten half his fucking, not a quarter of his whole army listing characters to get the Terracorsans in.
I suppose so. So, I mean, it's, but, you know, the, straight off, before we do our deep dive into these things, is you can win games with both styles of list. I think.
Games with any style.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Warmaster is a really good game system for that. You know, look at my recent success in Falkirk, in the North of the Wall, where I took the non-standard...
Suboptimal
Dark Elf list and, you know, came third with it.
Could have won it, because it's at the optimal list.
I think that's a great benefit of the game system. You know?
I'm not going to say nothing. Nothing is severely underpriced. Or overpriced.
No.
Everything's about right-ish.
Yeah, ish.
Ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So most of the stuff kind of can get its points back. It might not be able to, like... You wouldn't have, like, a 60-point unit of orcs take down a unit of Chaos Warriors at 140 points, but you might do enough damage to do 60 points worth of damage to it.
Yeah, true.
But the problem is, you're trading away break at the same time.
Yes, yeah, and that is... And ultimately, therein lies the issue, is it doesn't matter how rubbish your stuff is, it still gives a break point away.
So if you charge... Yeah, which is the Skaven issue.
Skaven issue, exactly.
So if you charge, like... Orc Warriors into Chaos Warriors, you're going to do 15 attacks.
You should do then 7-8 hits, so you might even take a stand, mightn't you?
If you take a stand, you've almost got your points back already.
And certainly makes them less combat effective, you know, the Chaos Warriors for other times.
And harder to order and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, because if you think about the Chaos Warriors 150.
140,
so
60, now, I think.
Yeah, 140. Yeah. So 60, 120, you know, 180. Is the three units of orcs. So if they take off a stand, that's not a bad trade. Like, you know, 60 points for one stand of Chaos Warriors.
Yeah, like you've got three units of Halberdiers,
or
almost four units, three and a half units of your clan rats.
Yeah.
Per one Chaos Warrior.
Per one Chaos Warrior.
Well, the problem is, those Chaos Warriors can eat three and a half
units. You have to rotate the casualties.
Need to do casualties quickly. Like, so, I think that is one of the benefits of the game, that it allows lots of different types of list building.
Yeah, and there isn't, you know, I don't think of there is like a default winning list for any race. I mean, some lists, like, they kind of naturally build themselves.
Like dwarves,
I was about to mention it, dwarves, but then at the recent arena I went to in North of the Wall, the dwarf lists I saw, well, they weren't like, they didn't wouldn't have had the builds that I would have gone with. You know, like, yeah, they can't be that different, but like rangers, for example. I think rangers are quite important in a
I don't think they are anymore.
But maybe they were. They're not. You know, like, and
Before Revolution, they definitely were important. Because you could never get more than one round of combat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter where you hit them. Yeah. And now, your leadership 10 general, get them in the flank, you get two rounds of combat. And that's probably enough. Most stuff.
I suppose so. There will always be unintended casualties, I guess, from, you know, an addition, like, you know, core rules changes. You know, maybe rangers are something that lost out. You know,
the problem was, you could never take the support with them, could you? If they were all in column and you hit the rangers, they won.
Yeah.
So you charge with your cavalry and hit the front of a brigade that's in column.
Yeah, it's the rangers that are going to chase.
But only the rangers can come out, and that's really not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the chances are they might lose, and then they get run down.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, so you talk about... Do you want me to talk about my style?
Yeah, you talk about
my style's easy.
Yeah.
So it is... I can guarantee it is what Janice does as well. So it's not... I'm not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I look at what's different in the list.
Mm-hmm.
What are the strengths of a particular list? So a good example would be, like, dwarves. What is stand out good in a dwarf list? Apart from the general. You've got to have the general... The general's good.
Cannons and warriors.
Cannons and warriors.
Yeah.
And flame cannons. The artillery brigade is... you're not getting a better artillery brigade than the dwarf one. Two flame cannons,
You wouldn't think it would matter much, but actually having the 6-up armour on the cannons does matter.
It's better than no armour.
Yeah, it's better than having no armour. And the amount of times that 6-up armour stops them losing a fight, like, you know, a suicidal charge to take them off because they passed 2 saves out of 4... on the 6-up armour. It's like, it happens.
If you've got 2 units of cannon and 2 flame cannon, and you charge that brigade, let's say you impact everything, right? So that's 2 cannons is 18, and then the 2 flame cannons...
16.
And then the 2 flame cannons is random, is it?
2 dice, so the average is 7. It's another 40. 16,
4, that's 30 attacks.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, you should get hurt.
30 attacks. And then, unless they're flyers, if you're on a hill, you're defended.
Yeah.
And they don't get charged much. And they're taking 30 attacks on the way in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So that, I mean, that's obviously a strength.
Yeah.
But it means you've got to play defensive. And then warriors. So in my list, I have a general and a runesmith. Now, if I have a leadership 10 general, I rely on that son of a bitch a lot.
Yeah,
so I'll play, like, character minimum.
Yeah. Yep.
The only reason I've got a runesmith is because of what he does outside of giving orders.
Yep.
Which is, he doesn't give many orders.
No.
And a sword of fate, because I've got 5 points for that. So my entire character pack is 255 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can spend a lot of money on characters if you want to.
Yeah,
500 points on characters isn't unknown.
Yeah, not unknown.
So then I've got 2 gyrocopters,
because
they're a bit different.
They're not
great.
But they can be where you want them to be.
And they can do stuff. They can make people go through them. They can slow them down. Mm-hmm. They can hide at the back. They can shoot stuff.
Yeah.
2 of them shooting together isn't bad. And they don't have to be next to each other.
No, not at all. Yeah.
6 shots armour piercing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
All the way around.
Yeah.
And then we've got 2 cannon, 2 flame cannon, 12 warriors.
Yeah.
That's the list.
Yeah.
And the break is 9. 18 units. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the kind of dwarf list I'd run, because there's no weakness there.
What does the opponent fight?
What do you want to fight?
A
brigade in column of dwarf warriors.
Dwarf warriors.
Three of them. Or I'm not letting you near the brigade cannons and the gyrocopters just to get in the way and annoy you.
Yeah. It's difficult.
It's a very defensive army.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's how I build it, because I want to maximise what they do well.
Yeah.
And minimise what they don't do well.
Fair enough.
And I know things like they've got slayers. The slayers are good, but you can't control those sons of bitches.
No. The reason they are the points value they are is because they're uncontrollable and thus liability. And they do have this. They have the weirdest rule of, in terms of VPs, of counting for. If they count against the opponent.
They have to die.
It's really strange.
Not that VPs mean that.
It's very colourful, but it's like, no, yeah, but they are weird for VPs.
So what always happens with stuff like flagellants or slayers is I will put my stuff 20 centimetres away from the corner of one stand, and I'll be in, like, I'll either be knights or I'll be in cover, or and it'll be a shit charge that you will lose.
Yeah.
And then I'll just line you up for an initiative charge or take you down or whatever. You will be fighting where you don't want to fight.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point of, that's why their stat line comes in at the points value it is. I think, you know, like Dwarf Slayers at 90, I think. I think, yeah, so that's why it comes in at that.
Yeah, because they hit them really, really hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So what would your dwarf, have you got dwarf list?
I could.
You better talk about Paul's style. I'll let you. He likes a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that means you've always got a tool to use for a situation.
Yeah,
if you're in a certain situation, you need a certain tool, you're likely to have that tool.
And also I'm influenced a bit by the models that, you know, that are available as well, like, and what I want to represent. So this would be my kind of dwarf list. Would be 6 warriors, one with a banner of shielding.
No, you're not still going on this banner of shielding. Okay. Come on, fella.
A unit of handgunners, 3 units of rangers, 3 troll slayers, 2 cannons, a flame cannon, and one flame cannon, and a gyrocopter, and then a general, a hero, and a runesmith.
What's the hero doing?
Giving orders.
To who?
The dwarves. Like,
well, they don't move, and you've got leadership 10 general.
No, so that's the kind of dwarf list I would run. Because that.
What's your break?
9. Yeah.
Same as me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But look at all the variation I have. You know, like trying something of everything. So this, the build of, so the way you deploy this army down would be you have 3 core, you know, 3 brigades. With slayers screening the front of them, and the handgunners would go with the cannons and the flame cannon. And
so you'd have the old fashioned slayers in line, and then warriors, rangers, warriors, and column behind.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but the tried and tested.
Tried and tested. You know, worked for 2,000 years.
Well, it worked for about 17 years, 18 years.
And also, I just like that you can, with that banner of shielding there. Because they're representing Iron Breakers. They are Iron Breaker models. I have a unit.
I'm going to have to get you off this banner of shielding.
I know, I love it. You know, like, it's just like, but it's just like, it doesn't, you know, it never works when you need it to, but it's just the potential of what it could do. It's like, oh, I've got a 3-up armour.
I just want to be a tank tip.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better on 4-hit models than 3-hit models, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the iron, yeah. Doing that method of dwarf warriors with shielding, so calling them iron breakers, is they just lack the attacks. You know, like when you need them. Like, I've been flanked and I survived, but I didn't win either because I've got no attacks.
And they cause terror.
Yeah.
No attacks.
Yeah.
Right. So what else have you got in your everything buys everything list? Have you got, what other lists have you got? I'll tell you. I've got Arabic Chaos, Lizardmen, and Dwarfsmen.
Oh, okay. I could talk to you about a Chaos Army that I really like.
Go on, do your Chaos Army, I'll do mine afterwards. So a little bit of everything.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Like 2 units of Chaos Warriors, 12 units of Chaos Marauders.
12?
Yeah.
Holy moly!
Because always with Chaos, it's always hordes of Chaos. Like, Chaos Armies in the fluff are big. Like, there's loads of them. And the
it's
is,
not Beastman Army.
But the problem is that
have you got the models for this? 12 units.
I think I do. Yeah. Like, but the problem is Chaos Armies are always small, tiny.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is where I'm.
This is the definition of a small army.
Yeah, yeah. So 2 units of Chaos Warriors, 12 units of Chaos Marauders, 2 Marauder Horsemen, 1 unit of Chaos Knights. Got to have them. Sort of fake, smacky smacky. 4 Chaos Hounds, 1 Chaos Chariot. 1 Harpies, 1 General, 1 Sorcerer, 1 Hero, and that's a Breakpoint 12 Chaos Army. Another variation list for Chaos I came up with, essentially, is, you know, is to combine 2 things. Is one, I was like, put a General on a Dragon with a sword, and have a unit of Chaos Warriors with Banner of Shielding, and that attacks. You know, like, you focus all the emphasis, like, on one thing, and it's like this super unit.
What do they call that in fucking in fantasy? That was a strategy of play, wasn't it? Where you just had your entire army in one fucking unit, and you had like 8 characters, and the whole front line was just fucking characters.
I can't remember, unless
you had a way to kill it with magic, you just could never fight this fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the front line is just all characters.
Bricklist or something? Yeah, was it like?
It reminds me of that. I'm just going to put more and more stuff into this unit.
Exactly.
Dragon.
I mean, yeah.
Why is this general in a unit anyway?
What?
Why is he in a unit?
Well, because
he just wants to be in a unit.
Because he has another attack. Because his hero is one attack and the general's two. Yeah, so the general on a dragon and a sword will be six attacks.
Most normal people would take the five attacks and hide the general somewhere off the line.
Not this chaos list. Yeah, like, it'd be fun to try. Yeah, it'd be, I don't know if it'd be good, but...
I'll never forget that quote. Well, you lost more generals in a game. In my entire gaming career.
Yeah, it's like, oh well. I lost two generals in one game.
I don't think I've ever lost a general.
Never.
In a competitive game, no.
It's happened against... I've lost an ogre general against you.
Maybe in a friendly game. I don't know. Yeah. In a competitive game. I don't tend to put them in.
I do. I'm like, commit. You know, like...
I think the only one would be like a Bretonian, because that's the only way you can get a fear-causing one, isn't it? I think the grip, whatever
yes,
it is,
yeah,
hippogriffic, it can only go on the general.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to gimp them up a bit more. Right, so here we go. Mine's obviously like the opposite of yours.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
So four Chaos Warriors.
Yeah.
Four Marauders. So we're going little Warrior Marauder 2s here.
Oh, okay.
So Warriors on the front, Marauders on the back.
Yep.
In line.
Yep.
Four of those running around.
Fair enough, yep.
Nice and meaty. Yep. Three knights.
Ooh, three knights. Right, okay.
They do work.
That's 600 points. Like,
they do work. No banner needed here.
No.
Because what have you got to stand up to three units of knights?
Three units of knights? I lost a lot of marauders.
Marauder horse. Yep. Two harpies for the shenanigans.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Four hounds. Yep. I didn't notice any hounds in your
list. Yeah, I got four hounds in that list.
It's funny how even when they got the tax to 40 points, people still just wham four in.
It's 160 points well spent.
Yeah, it's well spent. A general, you go.
Yep.
Two sorcerers.
Yep, fair enough.
Why would I be getting two?
Because they got rage of chaos.
Something dirty and exploitable in there. And I didn't have any money for... I would normally be taking rings of magic and stuff for these, but I don't have any money. So Sword of Fate.
Yep.
On, I give it to a sorcerer.
So what break point's that?
Nine.
That's still nine.
Yeah, that's meaty, man.
Yeah, that's still nine.
Because I'm not committing the harpies or the hounds unless there's something specific to do.
They can probably not get involved.
So I'm only committing four Chaos Warriors, which are in line with Mordors behind them, and three
Chaos Knights. You were hit hard. get it close together, and you present enemy no easy options.
Yeah, and if they do have artillery stuff, we've got harpies, we've got ways of dealing.
Not easy to deal with them, but
we can deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my Lisbon list is a bit boring. We don't really need to talk about that. My stock Lisbon list, and again, it's exploiting the things that I feel are good in the list. So, pterodons, we get maximum of those. Coldon riders, we get maximum of those. Skinks, minimum. These are fuck it. We don't really want these fellas around, but if we've got to have them, we've got to have them.
Yep.
And then eight Saurus, and then we get a Saurus hero with a Carnosaur. Three skink heroes, two skink shaman, ring of magic, scroll of dispelling, break 9.
Break 9. Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice list.
Cool.
And again, I'm kind of focused on what they do well and kind of mitigating what they don't do well.
Yeah.
So do you want me to do another one?
Araby. Araby. Right, okay.
So tell me now, what is it about Araby that is good? And I'll tell you if I've got max.
What is it about Araby that's good?
There are two things that are exceptionally different about the Araby list.
Magic carpet.
Let's have two of those. Cause
the elephants?
Yeah. So we're running out of two of each of those. So our list starts. Magic carpet's two of them because they can put out 12 shots.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
And you're a fan
that
of Aladdin.
That is nuts.
Yeah, like best Disney movie.
12 shots.
That is pretty good.
So if you fly them behind artillery and they set up behind the cannons, they don't need to charge them.
No, they just shoot six shots each. Yeah. So
three wounds on each cannon.
The first unit, it does three wounds, say, and then but the second one would need to kill off the cannons, won't it?
So if you send back cannons, there's no armour. Just one and a half wounds gone.
Well, six shots is three hit. Yeah, but it's three wounds. So you might get lucky and take four hits with one.
Yeah, we might get two.
Yeah.
Either way, that cannon unit's disabled.
It's deleted, yeah.
And the other one?
Yeah,
same
deletes
again.
It, yeah.
So that's both of them gone.
Yeah.
And if you charge them, they still shoot six.
Still shoot six, yeah.
And they're flyers.
Flyers, I'll get away.
Yeah. And elephants, oh my god, elephants are nuts.
7, 14, 21 dice on the charge.
21 dice on the charge, with terror.
With terror.
Small bases.
It's a lot of power to a small frontage. Mm-hmm.
Now these things, I would love to run into your Skaven bin lid with these. Just see how far they go. They just be wading through.
Oh dear. Well, because of like, you know, the fantastic circumstance I found myself, you probably will like be seeing me putting Skaven on.
Okay, so the rest of this, four spearmen, four bowmen, you've got to take them.
Yeah.
I hate them, but you've got to take them. They'll be set up.
You have no choice.
Four knights.
Because they're four up armour. Yeah.
Right, they're good. Mm-hmm. Two camel riders. Because they're funky for this list as well.
So,
minus one to order, but no distance.
Range, you can order them from a position of your character's safety, like who are there to give a try, like to order other things and then throw an order at the camel riders at the end.
If you've got a spare order.
Yeah.
And they've got bows, so if they're in a position, they'll be shooting something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So four spearmen, four bowmen, four knights, two camel riders, two magic carpets, two elephants, one general, got to have him, one hero with the sword of fakes, that's all I'd left.
Yeah.
Two wizards, these are the cheap wizards.
I think their mirage spell is really good.
Yeah, and they've got another spell that gives you, is it minus one to command? Is it like, they've got another spell that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I've got a djinn, because Jim swears by the djinn, because it causes terror.
Djinn.
Makes your wizard do stuff better, and also brings some more shooting attacks. I don't set it up with a magic carpet, but if I've got a wizard with access to a terror causer,
that's
probably a good thing to use. So it's quite minimum here. We've only one hero, one general, two wizards.
Yep.
Break 9, 2,000 points. I think I've got this list painted.
This base. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't own an Araby list. I don't have a written one to hand.
Well, you just do some of your lists.
But
you'd be a bit more general than that. But I think you'd struggle not to take two elephants, I'm being honest, because elephants are so far above the curve.
So,
what, could I put a magic banner on? No, they're monsters.
Magic banner, god damn you!
I wanted to see what
you've got to let go of this magic banner shit.
Here's an example of a high elf list, which is like something of everything. Which I would go for. Four spearmen and four archers. Three silver helms, three reavers, two chariots, a giant eagle, two bolt throwers, a general, a hero on a dragon with a sword of might, and a wizard with the ring of magic.
Nice. What's the ring of magic for?
Casting a shooting spell. I don't need a ring of magic. I'd like to paint up my own high elf army, and that's the kind of list I would like to run with high elves. I think their shooting is lovely, for high elves.
It's a lot more lovely before they lost the three up here.
I mean, I won't really talk about Skaven builds because I've never thought up. I've got a lot of builds. I've got more Skaven builds than anything else put together.
I think real men take that warp lightning cannon build.
Oh my god. The Bretonian list I have here is the attempt to include something of everything.
But that is important for you. That's your bag.
That's my thing. But obviously Bretonians have the unique breakpoints of knights, so they're a little different, like in their own world. The vampire counts lists are ones that favour me because you can include something of everything and still have a huge army like a vampire counts. So here's a good one.
Right, go on then.
Six skeletons, six zombies, two ghouls, four graveguard, two ethereal hosts, four black knights, two direwolves, a fell bat, a vampire lord, two vampires, one's on a winged nightmare, with a sword of might, another's got a sword of fate, and two necromancers, and that gives you a breakpoint 14. Vampire counts are a very good army.
They're just like a bit of infantry punch, but you can't have anything.
You can't have everything. You've got
graveguard.
You've got the most you can have of graveguard, which is four of them. But they're 3 feet.
Their knights are really, really good.
Yeah.
With the raised dead in the back, dead. But they're like
woof. Strong. Yeah, well, I've got several minor variations on that list essentially.
But why are you not taking the black coach, Paul?
Well, I just didn't. This is where it's like
I take two black coaches because they're so cheap and they do exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah, the reason is I just never liked the concept of what a black coach was. But having said this,
worry about a concept.
Yeah, it can't be. But in that Joan of Arc, there's a werewolf in there, and the werewolf. I mean, because obviously the Joan of Arc scale.
Is 16 men, something random.
So your men can't be alongside, but the werewolf,
the monsters,
looks fine. Monsters,
yeah.
And it's a mini monster in that game. like there's a scenario where you hunt the werewolf. Ooh. I compared it in a Walmart and I was like, oh, that looks good. So you could use a werewolf as a black coach.
Hang on a minute. Why would the werewolf be a black coach?
No. You use it in the game as a black coach.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Just a scary
big monster.
Giant monster.
Yeah, big scary monster. Let's see.
I never once worried about what the black coach looked like.
This is a really cool undead... So this is a really cool Tomb Kings list.
Okay, here we go. Right.
16 units of skeleton warriors.
I've been further than that.
4 skeleton bowmen, 2 cavalry and 2 chariots, 1 carrion... 2 skull chuckers, 2 bone throwers, a tomb priest, and 4 leech priests, one's on a zombie dragon, and some other magic items thrown around to make it up. Breakpoint 15.
Nice.
That one, though, I think with Tomb Kings, you come down to either, do you take, like, the sphinxes, and, like, you know, or do you go a lot of numbers, you know, like, or do you max out on chariots?
So quality is a quantity of its own, yeah?
Well, with that army... Breakpoint 15. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you got more than that for Skaven, didn't you? And you soon lost.
Sadly, I really did enjoy my Dark Elf list that I took north of the Wall. You know, I enjoyed using that list.
Did you? Any refinements? Well, maybe another unit of cold ones. Maybe that 30 points.
Considering
scepter.
I did need that scepter. Considering the game, for my first game, wouldn't have been a draw with that scepter.
I mean, like, 3 blunders in the first game. That's real kick in the balls.
That was telling. But I did really enjoy.
And the second unit of cold one? Just 2. I mean, I'm not saying take 6, but 1 is ridiculous.
This is an interesting Empire army I like to run. 6 units of halberdiers, 2 nice. Handgunners. 3 crossbowmen, 2 flagellants. 4
5 units of shooters!
Mm. 4, yeah, have you seen how Declan plays at Empire?
Yep.
Yeah, like, 4 units of skirmishers, 3 knights, 2 pistoliers, 1 hellblaster, 2 cannons, a steam tank. I really like steam tanks.
I like steam, I've got 2.
A general, hero, 2 wizards, 1 with ring of magic. Yeah, breakpoint 11. So there you go for the 4 skirmishers in front of 4 units of halberdiers.
That's
an interesting brigade.
It's bigger. It's got a lot of wounds in that brigade, doesn't it?
It does. You know,
they get 4 attacks. Yeah,
the skirmishers do, and they don't. Yeah, they don't have to be the first thing to die.
They're the last thing to die.
The last thing to die. Yeah. You know, the chaos dwarf army. I put in this is the army that I used, and again went undefeated in an event. You know, with the chaos dwarves. That was influenced by the models that you could get for that chaos dwarf army. And I was again. This list wrote itself by because I wanted what I wanted to include and by to what models were available, and that was 4 Chaos Dwarves, 2 Blunderblusses, 2 Black Orcs, 4 Orc Slaves, a Hobgoblin Wolf Rider, 2 Bull Centaurs, 2 Earthshaker Cannons, 2 Bolt Throwers, a General with Sword of Fate, and a Hero with Sword of Might, a Sorcerer. That was Breakpoint 10. That was a good army to use. If Dancing Yak then has produced and is then something you can buy a unit has available to buy everything, then I would change it. I wanted, but I had nothing to represent hobgoblins in the way that I wanted to represent them. That's the army list.
We've talked about Kislev recently, but for example, Norse. When you look at the Norse list, the only things apart from the Valkyrie, if you could even work out it's like you want the Husk Elves, don't you?
Yeah.
Because Husk Elves were the thing that break the rules. They're unique.
They're
not necessarily. Well, they are a little bit undercosted.
They are. Yeah, personally, I don't think the maps lies,
But if you didn't give them that, what on earth are they? Dwarves. They're just like
exactly
humanish beastmen.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
Husk Elves, I think you're allowed 8, aren't you? I'm sure we limited them.
Yeah.
So you would be taking. I would start my list with 8 Husk Elves.
I'm afraid.
And whatever else you have to have.
Yeah.
And then you build from there.
Because there isn't. There isn't anything that stands out in that army list that isn't somewhere else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've discussed these again recently. So Husk Elves, you have to have 1. You can have a maximum of 4. So you'd have 8 of those. Yeah. That's 800 points gone. Yeah, that's a lot.
But it's points well spent.
And then you've got 4 bondsmen.
Yeah, you should have to have them.
So you're now up to 1,040.
Yep.
You've got to have your hero package, which is going to be like 300 minimum.
Yeah.
You've got. So what's that?
So 400, 800, 300, 1500 points.
Wow, so. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that's got three monsters on it, so, and got cavalry, a million different types of infantry. I think that you're not going to have a lot of variety once you've put in your eight Huskarls on your four bondsmen.
Yeah.
And then your hero package, character pack. There's not going to be a lot of choice left in it.
No.
Why would you not run eight Huskarls?
I mean, even a fluff bunny like me, no. So that's why they're there. I mean, like, but some armies are, that's why you play that army, isn't it? You know, like...
Dogs of War because you want the birdmen. What are they called? Birdmen?
Birdmen. I mean, like, your Bretonians, for example, well... It's a knight-heavy list.
Well, it's not one Janus plays.
No, well, yeah, you can play it because, not as a knight-heavy
exactly.
list. But it's if like, you're next it's, level. But it is a knight-heavy list. That's what Bretonians are.
Is it? Know?
It should be.
Because that's a perfect example. Because what Janus did was like, I can only lose this game if I lose my knights.
Yeah.
So don't expose your knights.
Yeah.
So I think his break was three.
Yeah.
And he exposed one.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah.
Maybe that one is even a Grail Knight. Maybe he's even got a banner of shielding because I've seen that used. Right, so he's only exposing his one knight.
Yeah,
and he's got. I think he had eight squires.
Yeah, he did have eight squires. Yeah, it was a lot of light cavalry.
I think they've got. They're not light. Yeah. They've got five up arm. They're marauders, aren't they?
No, they're six up arm squires. Yeah. Check it out.
They've got shooting.
That book's alphabetical. Yeah, you know, like.
Are they got shooting?
Yes. Yeah. They're light cavalry.
With shooting.
Yeah. I swear they're not. They're six up armour. They can't be five up armour. They're squires.
Six up, but they got shooting.
Yeah, they got bow shot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, isn't it? If you took eight units of those, which is the max, I think that's what he did. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of fucking range shooting.
Yes, you do.
And then when they charge, they're not great.
But they, you know,
small frontage, four attacks per.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not that much better than bloody Chaos Hounds, are they? Yeah, really?
No.
Attacking because they've got six of armor, that's really not very much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you do potentially is I wouldn't do it personally, but the trebuchet.
Yeah.
Nobody else gets access to trebuchet. They can do a lot of work.
Their unique thing of their range of 80. You know, like
they can now move. I believe.
They can't move and fire in the same turn, but they can be moved. Yes.
So if you can get them somewhere central-ish, they can own the table.
Yeah.
However. They're on a big base, and
very,
have no attacks.
They're very hard to defend.
Even harpies can take these.
Oh yeah, well they can't defend themselves. Yeah. So the only way they can be defended is just by covering the charge with other stuff.
So then they can't
save. Firing independently, firing inaccurately. No, they are siege and they are difficult to defend with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the way I do it is I go find what in the list is different or unusual. Because, Dwarf Warriors, there's nobody else got Dwarf Warriors. And I think we talked about it in the past that I think Dwarf Warriors are cheap.
Right, okay. Yeah.
For what they do.
I mean, we've mentioned quite a few times that sweet spot of, you know, what is your core unit and what is a very good profile in the game and comes out, what does work for the points it is. You know, your Lism, your Saurus Warriors, your Demon, Lesser Demon Hordes.
Yeah. Well, let's hope.
That is a great profile for those points. You know, 4, 3, 5. You know, and then maybe some other rules thrown into it because of Demons of Terror or whatever. You know, but that's a very good profile for the points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we have a point here of effect of scenarios and casual play, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be problematic. So, for example, my dwarf list might be very nice in certain scenarios, but really, really poor in other scenarios.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And similar, the Dark Elf list I spoke about there did not fit the scenarios at all, like what it was supposed to, you know, like it was, I should have realised that before going, but anyway, it did not go forward and hold ground well. Because it wanted to stay away from the opponent and repeat a bolt throw them, and repeat a crossbow them.
Right.
So it did not move forward and take ground well and hold that ground. It was like, that's not what it's trying to do, what I built this army to do.
Okay, so I think most of my type of lists work well in your generic type pitch battles.
Yeah. which
tournament play.
Yeah, which is going to be most of your games. You know, like a style, like
because I don't tend to build for anything other than pitch battle tournament games. No, I think if something's different, then I'll maybe have to look at my list and try and do something funky.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
every list I build is for that. I don't tend to build fluffy lists, which is probably a problem for me. It's,
I mean. Well,
it would mean that I have models I never use.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Elizabeth models, I've got like Crofts of Gores.
Temple Guard.
Temple Guard. Mm-hmm. Never used them.
No. Never probably would you? Like,
I've got them.
Yeah.
They're painted, but they just never see the light of day.
Yeah.
Sorry, fellas. What's his face? Steggy.
Stegadon. Yeah.
1,000 point games he dominated. That's funny.
Yeah. But he's not going to get the table in a 2,000 point game for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just can't protect him.
Yeah.
Those cannons love him.
Yeah. So
like they'll love your banner of shielding.
Yeah. But because the way Warmaster tournaments are is if you intend to go to one, is to look at the tournament pack beforehand, and is it actually going to influence the army you're taking or the build you're taking?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the most egregious is probably one of these. I should have looked at the tournament pack for the Warmaster. Because that was lunacy.
Yeah.
Because that was like, you've just got to fucking score points.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you win or lose the games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've just got to run at them and smash the living shit out of them.
Yep.
So I don't know what list I would have, but you'd have something that you can't play anything defensive, I don't think. No. You just got to run like Zulu Dawn at them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think, was this Steve, who came second?
Yeah.
He did come second to Janice, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think he only won one game.
Yeah.
But he went so hard in his other games.
That it didn't matter.
It's like, what did you lose? Yeah, I lost. Yeah. I got 1,300 VPs. Yeah. What, losing?
Losing. The guy killed loads of stuff.
That was an example of, like, the tournament wasn't anything like any other tournament we've ever played in.
No.
Mm-hmm. And like nothing mattered but doing damage to your opponent and getting the objectives.
Yeah.
Nothing else mattered. You could lose everything. You could lose your general. Didn't matter. On your board.
But it's cool. It's cool that people take on their own versions, like take on their own ways. It's nice. It's like,
yeah, I don't know what I'd do next time. What would you do? I'd have to.
If it was exactly the same.
It will be the same. Imagine the rules are the same. So you've got to go out and be absolutely gung ho.
Bretonians.
Oh, that'd be nuts, wouldn't it? God wills it.
Rides
them down.
Because I got a Bretonian army to paint. I would do that. And
yeah, red and white, yeah?
That's, yeah, like Templars.
You can have some guys black crosses.
Yeah, because they're the Grail Knights. Yeah, just like ride them
God
down.
Wills it.
Just all night, all go. Yeah, All night. Well, you can't have all night. You've got to have some men-at-arms, haven't you? Or squires. But like, knights. Yeah, like...
God,
be like, the lady. I pray.
She's good.
Yeah,
she's good. They got some crazy spells.
Yeah, they got a good spells list.
Reroll failed armor saves.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably for that. I would also look at what the Warmaster Medieval list Teutonic Knights would be for them as well, just to make sure that I could use the army in that way as well.
Yeah,
probably.
Okay,
since if I was going for it. But yeah, for casual play,
anything goes.
Anything goes, play. Really. Yeah, it's like whatever you feel like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's it would say like I don't think I mean I try to think when sort of I do plan towards the said event I'm going to like so I haven't got an event for a while now because I'll be running London GT. Yeah, like I won't be playing. If I am playing it, I'm the spare player, and I'm not meant to win.
That is the truth, sir.
That is the truth. So I played something fun, or something simple, easy for me to use because I might need to dash off and answer rules questions or something.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, like so, it might be a place where I put my Chaos army of, like, Chaos Knights with Dragon of Doom. Yeah, like is it like that's what I'm gonna do? That's what I'm gonna try. So I've got a while to think up what, how I'll tackle the next event.
It'll be the trial is in November, October time, isn't it?
Yes, it will be, and I imagine I might well have to run Skaven at it.
Good luck with that Skaven, sir.
Yeah.
Right, so that was 101.
Yep.
List building.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got something out of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, it might not be new information to regular listeners for a lot of times, but, you know, we can never judge our listeners.
I might try and take this dwarf army, this fucking miserable dwarf army, grinding out fucking wings. Grinding the shit out of
where
fucking
I stand. Yeah.
Just sit. I hate defensive armies. I'll just have to drug myself and just say, I'm just sitting here fucking shooting.
The thing is, knowing yourself, it's like you're declaring that you're doing such a thing right up to the last moment within you switch.
To Elizabeth.
Yeah, to Elizabeth.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could butter up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Next up, an outro. Well, I don't really know what next up is. Well, I guess we'll be talking a bit about Joan of Arc, hopefully.
Yeah. We'll be chatting about that as our experience of it. Yeah,
and I'll be putting this episode out tomorrow, probably.
Yeah. So. It'd be quite interesting to talk about, do some episodes on, like, set tactics, or, like, you know, as in, you know, get how game mechanics, you know, like, so it might be interesting.
The problem is you need, like, an expert, though.
Well, we're not that experts, I'm afraid, but...
Well, you need your Alish or your Jim the Gent.
Oh, we could put down... Like, yeah, exactly.
You've got to get off and do your YouTube videos.
I know. But, like, we could put down examples of, like, what would you do in this situation? You know, like, hypotheticals. Okay. You know, like, simple things like, our advice on where would you direct your character's attacks? You know, we have several options.
Well, I think yeah, you see, this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I think you have to specify all the attacks up front.
Yes, you do. But
at the beginning of the combat.
Yeah, you do. But like, okay. Our advice: where would you direct your character in that situation?
Some cheeky chaps may try and hold the character. No, back you can't. To see where the
that's not fair. But like, that's not correct. But in that hypothetical, where do you direct the attacks? What is the best to be done? You know, like, and you know, is it at option? Where would you go? Would you attack unit A? Which are these things, or you attack unit B, which are those things. You know, do some maths in your head, and like, where would those character attacks make that impact?
I think one of the hardest things to do is work out how many attacks you need to remove whatever wounds are left.
Yeah.
You don't want to overkill, that's really bad.
Sometimes you can't help but get overkill because of the nature of the combat.
Yeah, but it feels really bad when you do like 9 wounds and they got one left.
They give you and you get away one. Yeah.
One minute there's a drawn combat because you've only done one fucking wound.
Well, that is sadly sometimes a byproduct of the game system. In those situations, like, you've overwhelmingly destroyed a minority amount of troops, but overall you end up drawing or something because their support of other, you know, it presents a unique situation, just the way the rules mechanics are.
No, but it's funny when that happens, when you end up like destroying a unit.
But you can't.
Well, you draw the combat because of some other reason, like you're fighting another unit and you've done hardly any damage to that because you had no attacks against
it. Support, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the beauty of the game. Yeah, there's quite a lot going on. It's quite elegant.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the next one's going to be. It'll be in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You can always find us on the Warmaster Facebook podcast Facebook page.
Yep.
Or Warmaster at warmaster.podcast@googlebell.com.
Mm-hmm.
That was episode 102 with Paul and Barry.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Would you like to know more?